Well, good morning, you lot. I see a whole lot of black out there today. Well, today is my birthday. I turn 50. I guess this means I'm a grown-up now, and it's just a number, you know. And in my heart, I still feel pretty young. Don't hurt yourself, old man. So thank you for joining us today, and for the birthday wishes. I appreciate that. But it's my joy to get to preach on my birthday. And today we're going to be continuing to dig through Deuteronomy, and we're talking about homes, the homes that the Lord has given us, and the importance and the responsibility of a place to call home. God's promise to his children is to give them a home, a place they belong, a place that has comfort for them, safety for them, a blessing for them, because God is present together with them. You see, God has never given up on his dream to give the Garden of Eden back to us, to give paradise back to his people. And so Moses' teaching in Deuteronomy still has important implications for us today. For the kind of home that we're going to build for ourselves, the kind of home we want to build for our family, for our children, for our friends, our roommates, maybe our pets, whatever your current living situation looks like. And the Lord can help you transform that into a real home. How many of you have heard this phrase? Yeah, that's a common phrase. Here's another phrase that is a reality for a lot of people as well. And that's the darker side of things. A home, when the Lord is not present there, that home can be a very dark place. It can be a place where abuse happens. It can be a place where perversion happens. It can be a place where children's innocence is destroyed. It's a place, potentially, without the Lord there, where hurtful words are spoken. Increasingly, homes in our day and age, they become a place of isolation and loneliness for a lot of people. A lot of people just consume media, wallowing in our own brokenness, and it's just on a repeat cycle of a bad country song. So for a lot of people, home is actually kind of a complicated thing and a complicated idea. And a lot of times our home life has both a bit of sweet and sour to it. But a home where the Lord your God is present, where he has been invited in, and you try to build your home life around him, a home that runs by his commands, by his guidance, and a home that is for his purposes, our homes have the potential to be a context for great healing, a place of great comfort, a place of safety, a place where you can let your guard down and relax, a place where you can really get some rest, the kind of rest that you need. So our home lessons from Deuteronomy, home lesson number one that I want to share with you today. If God gives you an opportunity for a home, go after it. Take hold of it. Put some effort out getting a hold of it. This isn't your preacher telling you to take out $500,000 in debt and pay a 7%+ mortgage rate for a property or anything like that. So whether you rent or you own, whether you're in a starter home or you need to downsize, whether your foundation is built with concrete or has wheels under it, whether you live in your parents' home or you have roommates, whatever your situation is, you have a responsibility to go and take hold of your promised land, of a promised home. And it takes a lot of effort and intentionality to create a godly home. It really does. And you have to go after it. So hear these words from chapter 1, verse 8. See, I have given you this land. Go in and take possession of the land the Lord swore he would give to your father, to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob, and to their descendants after them. Go after it. Deuteronomy begins by warning us not to make the same mistake that the Exodus generation made. The mistake they made by refusing the gracious gift of a home. What did the Exodus generation do to miss out on the opportunity of a home and the promised land? Remember the story where Israel sent out spies to go check out the land. And that number of spies came back. And the majority of those spies said what about the land? Indeed, it's a good land, but giants, walls that reach up to the sky. You were not willing to go up. You rebelled against the command of the Lord your God. You grumbled, "Our brothers have made our hearts melt in fear." So even when they are told that God will go and fight for them, as they had already witnessed, these are the people who witnessed in their lifetime the Exodus events and the plagues visited on Egypt so that Pharaoh and the Egyptian people would release the Israelites from captivity. This is the generation that crossed the Red Sea. This is the generation that was led by a pillar of fire and a cloud by day. This is the generation that didn't even have a grocery budget because God provided the groceries they needed, sandals that didn't wear out on their feet. He took care of everything. And even though they had witnessed firsthand the power of God with their own eyes, they still doubted and were unwilling to go take hold of this promised land. For you to have the kind of home that brings healing instead of hurt, you're going to have to kick some squatters out. You're going to have to go cleanse the land and break down a few idols and cast those idols out. I'm talking about in your home. Don't shrink back from the hard work of homemaking together with the Lord your God. God can help you transform your home. Home lesson number two. Your home is a gift, not an achievement. Therefore, receive it with gratitude. When the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give to you, a land with large flourishing cities you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of good things you did not provide, wells that you did not dig, and vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant, then when you eat and are satisfied, be careful that you do not forget the Lord. A godly home is a gift to us. And it's a gift from the Lord that comes with everything we need to thrive, to enjoy, to have a place where we truly belong. But even with all the time and effort that you've put into building your home, all of the blood, the sweat, the tears, the money that's been invested in it, all the hours of dreaming, all the maintenance that goes on, all of that hard work, at the end of the day, that is still a gift from God. And you are a steward of that home. And because your home is a gift from the Lord and you have stewardship over it, I think that we have a responsibility to use our homes in such a way that it becomes more than a blessing for just myself. Even hospitality is a dying art in our time. But I think your home, used for God's purposes, it provides a context where so many good things can happen. So much good can be done in a Christian home. For the purposes of discipleship, for the purposes of fellowship, community building, a home has even advantages over a church building and nice facilities, no matter how nice those facilities are. Here's an interesting verse. When I have brought them into the land flowing with milk and honey, the land I promised on oath to their ancestors, and when they eat their fill and thrive, they will turn to other gods and worship them, rejecting me and breaking my covenant. God giving this promised land. He knew that we would just be like, hey, I'm the one who worked so hard for this. Look what I've done for myself. I've done pretty well for myself. God knew that, God knows that when he gives us blessings, we are not always going to be appropriately thankful and use those blessings for his purposes and for the good things that we have the potential to use them for. So, I think that this says something about the heart of our God. Sometimes God is the kind of father who hands the keys to the Ferrari to the 16-year-old, even though he knows full well that his boy's going to go crash that car. That's the kind of generosity that is in the heart of our God. God gives us better than we deserve. He gives us more blessings than we can responsibly handle. And this leads into house lesson number 3. The desire of God is to give you paradise, to give Eden back to you. God keeps giving Eden back to his people, and he still does it today. The Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with brooks, streams, and deep springs gushing out into the valleys and hills, a land with wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil, and honey, a land where bread will not be scarce and will lack nothing, a land where the rocks are iron and you can dig copper out of the hills, everything you need right there for your blessing. He desires to give you every good thing you can possibly handle, and then some. Home lesson number 4. Don't covet other people's promised lands. You ever notice how easy it is to look over and see how it's going for other people and to compare the setup people have, what they're displaying, we do this with all kinds of things. Whenever you get into that place of comparing, and that always leads to a place where that creates envy, which is always toxic. And envy will really rob you from enjoying the blessings that you have. I'm not getting my fair share. I'm not getting what's owed me. And it makes you incapable of seeing what you've already been given. So there's lots of verses on this. I won't read them all, but three times Moses tells Israel, don't even try to take a piece of their land. I'm not even going to give you enough to put your foot on. That's for them. Don't compare. Just be grateful for what you have. Be grateful for the home opportunity the Lord your God has given you to build. All right. Number five. When God gives you a home, that home comes with house rules. How many of you have house rules in your home? Don't drink, don't smoke, don't chew, don't date girls who do, that kind of stuff. Well, if your home is for the purpose of honoring the Lord your God, you have a responsibility and rules that you need to keep. Moses told the people, you must be careful to obey all the commands of the Lord your God. Follow his instructions in every detail. Stay on the path that the Lord your God has commanded you to follow. And then you will live a long and prosperous, then you will live long and prosperous lives in the land you are about to enter and occupy. Long and prosperous lives. A lot of people have a home life that has crumbled and been destroyed. Households burnt to the ground by bad choices and horrible life circumstances. And I've witnessed a lot of this, and we all have to fight against this kind of stuff in our own ways. But the common denominator of the worst tragedies of homes just blowing up is in every case, somewhere along the way, that home stopped seeking the Lord their God with all of their heart, mind, soul, and strength. They stopped even trying to seek God in their home. Well, we don't always get it right. And some of us have lists of mistakes and regrets, and we're still struggling with some of the collateral damage sometimes of our own sin and bad choices. But here's another beautiful thing about homes. With the Lord your God, you can always come home. No matter how far you've strayed, no matter how far you've walked away from God, while there is life, there is hope. You can come home anytime. And keep in mind, homecoming is going to look different for different people. Some people have a home life that is so broken and toxic that that is not the home that they can come home to anymore. When I was working on my bachelor's in Texas, working on a Bible degree there, I had a roommate and a buddy of mine, and he said, brother so-and-so, and he called everyone brother and sister. You know, and that's kind of like really old school Church of Christ. You would say brother so-and-so, and I was kind of teasing him one day about that. And it's like, you call everyone brother and sister, you know, and it's just, what's up with that? And he said, you know what, Calvin? My mom cheated on my dad with my best friend in high school. And then abandoned our family. My sister ran away from home. My dad kicked me out and disowned me.
The church is the only home I have. And that is why I call people brother or sister, because that's the only home I have left. Our church, this community here, needs to stand as a kind of home for all of those refugees in this world who have brokenness in their family life and their family homes. And I think that's one of the high callings and potentials of something that we can do together. We can become a kind of family for each other. We can't do it in our own strength. We'll need all the grace that we can give to one another, but we need a miracle from the Holy Spirit to do that. But the church has so much potential to bring healing to one another and to bring healing and restoration back into our households and back into our homes. So listen to these words from Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 1 through 10. I told you last week that I believe that Jesus memorized the book of Deuteronomy as a way to fulfill the command to the king of Israel to keep a copy of the book of Deuteronomy on his person at all times, reading it every day. And I think that Deuteronomy chapter 30, this is just my guess, but after praying about it, chewing on it, reading over it again and again, I think Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 1 through 10 may have been Jesus' inspiration, at least in part, for the parable of the prodigal son. In the future, when you experience all these blessings and curses I have listed for you, and when you are living among the nations to which the Lord your God has exiled you, take to heart all these instructions. If at that time you or your children return to the Lord your God, and if you obey with all your heart and all your soul all the commands I have given you today, then the Lord your God will restore your fortunes. He will have mercy on you and gather you back from all the nations where he has scattered you. Even though you are banished to the ends of the earth, the Lord your God will gather you from there and bring you back again. The Lord your God will return you to the land that belonged to your ancestors, and you will possess that land again. The Lord your God will change your heart and the hearts of all your descendants so that you will love him with all your heart and soul, and so you may live. The Lord your God will then make you successful in everything you do. He will give you many children and numerous livestock. He will cause your fields to produce abundant harvests. For the Lord will again delight in being good to you, as he was to your ancestors. Delight in being good to you. How does God change people's hearts? How does God change people's hearts? The Lord your God will change your heart. He doesn't change hearts by forcing you to do anything. He doesn't break your will. He doesn't take away your choice. God does not change your heart through force or manipulation or coercion of any kind. If you want to leave the abundance and the riches of the house of God, each and every one of us is just free to go. You can walk away. God will let you go. He will even give you riches to take with you on your journey away from Him, in rebellion against Him. And I think the story of the prodigal in Luke 15, 11 through 32, that's the story of how the Lord your God changes your heart. God changes your heart because He loves you enough to let you go. He loves you enough to make your own mistakes. God changes hearts because somewhere deep inside we are aware that we have experienced goodness and blessing that we did not deserve. God changes hearts because we know that He keeps the porch light on for us. He's the kind of God who keeps scanning the horizon, waiting for the moment that we might come home. He's the kind of God who yearns for the moment that when you're eating pig slop, that you come to your senses and realize even the servants in my Father's house had food to spare. That's the way God changes hearts. And when you come back in your brokenness and your shame to the Lord your God, this is also how He changes hearts. When you come with all of your lines you've been rehearsing, all the excuses, all the lines, all the rehearsed verses, He doesn't even let you get it out of your mouth. He runs to you. He throws a robe on. He puts sandals on your feet, a ring on your finger. He's yelling instructions for the feast that's going to take place. That's how our God changes our hearts. He loves us enough to play the long game with us. And even though some of us go wandering pretty far afield, and we know in this lifetime there are a lot of people who never stop and never look back and they never turn around. And that's the risk that He takes. But that kind of love can change a heart in a way that forcing a person never could. And so this brings us to the final home lesson from Deuteronomy today. What is it that makes a promised land a promised land? And what is it that makes a home a home? The presence of the Lord your God is what makes the difference. If your house has wheels under it, if you're just renting, if you can't stand your roommate, can't stand your spouse, your kid's driving you nuts, whatever the difficulties there, if the Lord your God is present, He will help you make that into a home that is a place of healing and comfort and peace and delight, love, where hearts are being changed and transformed, a beacon of light and hope in every neighborhood where we live. Because this is the reality. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builder labors in vain. And unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. When we invite the Lord our God into our homes, receive it as a gift, and try to use our homes in ways to honor Him, try to keep His house rules, and always keep the porch lights burning for the people that we love, to feel comforted and welcome when they come, when they kind of finally come to their senses to come home. All of that potential exists when the Lord our God is present together there with us in our homes. So we always offer an invitation for the song leader to come up. Dad, start walking. I wouldn't usually just say that to my dad, but you know what? I'm the birthday boy today, so I can get away with it. So. But we always offer an invitation here at this congregation. For the prayers of the church, if you need prayer over something, if you have some kind of need, if you want to put the Lord on in baptism, we always make a time available for you to come and express those needs. I'll be right up here up front. And let's go ahead and stand up and sing our invitation song together.